Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the What's This podcast. I'm Kevin Gallagher. I'm joined again by Kieran Mooney. Kieran, how are you today?
I'm good, Kev. I'm absolutely freezing, as we've just spoken about before we jumped on air. It is getting into the freezing cold weather, but it always makes you feel a little bit warmer with a couple of late goals. Happy Saturday night, wasn't it?
It was indeed. I was just saying that as well. I'm absolutely choked with the cold as well, and Saturday was Baltic at the Rex. But as you say, it was good to celebrate a couple of late goals. And I mean, we'll come to talk about the game a little bit later on, but not the greatest 90 minutes of football I've ever witnessed in my life. But as we say, it was a win for the Wasps, and with results elsewhere, a pretty decent Saturday's work for Alloa. We've also got a little bit of transfer news to talk about as well, and outgoing from the club that happened just before the games at the weekend. And we'll also have our Queens fan Daniel join us later on to help preview the Queen of the South game that's coming this weekend as well. Unfortunately, though, there's a bit of horrible news to kind of report at the start. It's kind of been viewed on social media as well as in, like, say, Pye and Bovril. It was obviously an incident in the KFC with a couple of younger Edinburgh City fans after the game on Saturday. It's Monday that we're recording this part, and there's just been a statement released by the club. So just kind of kick off with that. I'll read that out and get some thoughts from yourself, Kieran. So as I say, a statement got released Monday afternoon. It says, Alloa Athletic Football Club is appalled at the incident after the match versus Edinburgh City on Saturday the 6th of January 2024, which resulted in two away fans being assaulted outside KFC after the match. We condemn the actions of those responsible and apologise to Edinburgh City and the two fans affected. Our club is ashamed to be associated with anyone involved in this incident and are angry that the actions of a minority have completely overshadowed the match. This behaviour tarnishes our reputation and will not be tolerated by the club. We are currently working with the relevant authorities to identify the perpetrators who will face the strongest action from the club. And that's signed off by the Alloa chairman, Andy Allen. Kieran, it was obviously horrible to kind of hear the reports of this on kind of Saturday night, Sunday morning. My kind of personal view, I mean, completely echoes what Andy Allen's obviously released from the club side of things. Absolutely deplorable. From what we've heard, I suppose a group of about 20, I say Alloa supporters, but you can put that in inverted commas, apparently have attacked two younger Edinburgh guys. So pretty horrific. And as far as I'm concerned, a pretty good statement that Andy and the club have put out.
Very strong statement from the chairman. I think it's good to see that come out in the early hours of effectively the first working day since it's the incident occurred. It's a theme that's, can you call it a theme? It's an incident that seems to be becoming more and more common in Scottish football, and it's not something that you want to see at all. We obviously had the incident after the Dunfermline Wraith game, and that received a lot of traction, and fair play to Wraith for what they've gone on to do for the young lad and bringing him in and getting him some time with the players. But these things are things that we shouldn't be speaking about. Alloa have got their first victory of the year, Andy's first home victory, and unfortunately we're having to start the podcast on this awful note. And we've got to talk about it, because it's something that the club have condemned, that most 99% of Alloa supporters, I'd even go as far, you know, it's 100% of real Alloa supporters are completely condemning. You're there to support the team. You're there to back the team. Have a bit of banter with the away supporters. That's absolutely fine. But by the looks of it, it seems like a small section of youngsters want to go just to be involved in these sorts of things after the game. They're leaving games early, and this is not the first incident, unfortunately. It's just the first one that we've made a statement on and spoken about on here. But I echo what the club say and what the Pye and Bovril comments say. This is not the scenes that we want at Alloa. With such a good feel around the club and the club going in a good direction under Andy, we don't want to be brought down with incidents from this. And it's good to see that we're working with the Edinburgh City and with the local authorities to hopefully get to the bottom of it. If it's bans, then so be it, because we can't have. We've got to really stamp this out and make a real statement here.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, there's a small group that have seen during games. I can think of, like, say, against Stirling Albion earlier in the season and stuff, and then all of a sudden there's a mass exodus, something's happened. You know, there's a bit of banter back and forward from the home end to the away support. And I think the fact that, you know, the away support have got all the way up that side, that they're relatively close, so you can get a bit of banter back and forward from the cow shed, and that's fine. But then you've seen times where all of a sudden, you know, I'm standing in the shed and there's, you know, 10, 15, 20 of them, you know, and it's young folks. You know, these guys must be like between sort of 12 and 16 year old. It's kids they're talking about here that are doing this. And the way they go piling out, trying to get out the ground. There's been times that they've been trying to fire, like get a way out of the ground, and it's still been, the gates have still been closed up, and you can see them try to find a way out because they want to go around and have a scrap. And you think, that's what you're coming to the football for. Go do something else on a Saturday. Like, just what is the point? Just go away and do something else. It's just absolutely pointless. And as you say, it's the first time there's been a comment, but there was an incident after the Hamilton game as well. I think the Hamilton supporters bus got the windows bricked in after that as well. And I mean, could it be the same people? I mean, it was shock horror if it would be the same people. You know what I mean? It's so obvious where it's coming from. And there's been a police presence. You know, I come out and come back round that way past KFC. I'll be honest, on Saturday, I never seen much happening on Saturday, and it was relatively quieter than usual around that sort of area. But previous games, you've seen the kind of the young team kind of lining up there, and there's normally police about. I seen a police officer sort of between McDonald's and the ground on Saturday after the game, but whether they were heading across, I don't know. But it's just, as you say, it overshadows, and as the statement says, it overshadows, you know, it was a good win on Saturday, and yet we're talking about this. And as you say, you mentioned there about the, you know, well publicised incident at the Dunfermline match earlier in the week as well. And it's just things you don't want to see.
No, and it's right to comment on it, it's right to condemn it, and hopefully that's the end of it. It seems like the club are going to take a very serious, quite right stance on it. So hopefully this is the last time that we have to comment on it and we can talk about matters on the park. But I suppose moving swiftly on, because we don't want to talk about it too long, we can speak about the only other little bit of off the park news. And yeah, that was a couple of changes. One that went under the radar is Nathan Cannon's return from Benburb on loan. He made the bench on Saturday, but yeah, the one that picked up most of the headlines was Bradley Roddin has left the club to sign for Stennis Muir on a deal till the end of 2025. Brad came up from the juniors, or if you can call it that these days, the non-league, came from Rossvale, and has done well for the team. He's not played as many minutes as he maybe would have liked, and that's the reason that he's no longer with Alloa. But he's got 11 goals in 18 starts and 17 sub appearances for the Wasps, so that's a goal every 123 minutes played this season and one every 171 minutes last season, and that includes three match winning efforts as well. And you know, Brad has been a player that we like on the pod. He was the first player that this podcast decided to sponsor, and he's done well for Alloa. He came up, it was a big jump in levels, but immediately when the days that he was on trial, he offered that pace, that directness, excitement, enthusiasm, got a couple of goals. Yeah. And he always seems to be a striker that, despite not playing a lot of minutes, you throw him on, he's in and around, he's getting chances. And he's given us some good moments. We spoke about a couple of those last week at Palmerston. And I wish him the best of luck. There's a lot of bodies in this Alloa team. There is going to be ones that have to leave. And unfortunately, Brad is one of those individuals, but it seems like a move that suits everyone. It suits Brad, it suits us, and hopefully Stennis Muir as well, as they continue a very impressive charge for the title.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's almost kind of unanimous that he's kind of leaving with the kind of goodwill of pretty much all the Alloa support. You know, I think when you look at the squad that's there, the attacking options that we now have, Brad has found himself, as we kind of talked about last week as well, he's found himself, you know, quite far down the pecking order. I'm really interested to see who gets on. I don't think the irony has been lost. Stennis Muir, Craig Telfer's team, yeah, his comments earlier in the season about Brad looking like a competition winner. I mean, Telfer must have kept quiet about Stenny holding a competition to win a contract for the second half of the season with them. But yeah, I think that the irony is quite nice there. But I'm interested to see if Brad gets on, because I think with Brad, I think the step up he made would have been what, tier six, I think, going up to tier three. I mean, that's a massive jump. And I think, has he ever looked properly comfortable as a League One striker? Probably not, as the honest answer. I think he's a kind of player that's always looked like he could do something or make something happen and coming off the bench. But I think you know, had Brad been your, you know, your first choice that you were relying on every week in League One, I don't think he's really shown that he's necessarily at that level. What I will say, great pace about him. He's a natural finisher, and a tremendous work ethic. You know, he's never once let Aloha down. We'll try his heart out. And I'm really interested to see how he gets on at League Two. I've talked before about, I do see there is a drop, but, you know, there is a difference between each of the divisions in Scotland. I think, you know, how big the difference is, I don't know. But I do think there is a difference between all the divisions. So I think maybe just dropping down to that tier four, I am actually really interested to see how it gets on for the rest of the season with Stenny. And, you know, if you talk there about the run that Stenny are on, the position they find themselves in. Of course, famously, have never won a league championship. I mean, Brad could find himself part of a squad that ultimately come May could end up going down as legends within the Warriors support.
Yeah, and he's going to play a big part. He's got a task to displace Matty Aitken, that's the main man up front just now, who's playing really well, but it's a strong squad. They're playing a lot of good football, scoring a lot of goals, so it completely makes sense, and echo what the manager said, wish him all the best. And it might not be the only departure this window. Going off the manager's interview, he kind of, did you think he a little bit backtracked on what he told the advertiser? He said the advertiser there'd be no incomings, which was nice and apt. He could have done that 12 hours prior and we would have saved ourselves 10 minutes in the podcast. But he said post-match that if the right player comes available, then we will move for him. Yeah. And that, to me, left a little bit more wriggle room for a potential incomings. But as it stands, I think we're in the position that it's any news will probably be out the way before we hear about any in the way.
Yeah, I think so. I think it there was a little bit of a softening of his stance, you know, from the week before. As I say, we're recording this on the Wednesday. It's not going to be going out until we're not speaking to Daniel until later in the week. So we may, by the time this goes out, probably on the Wednesday evening, there may have been further ins and outs. But I do think it's still, kind of, as I said last, I still think probably need to be more outs before we see anyone else coming in. I think as well, you know, you mentioned there about Nathan Cannon coming back in from his loan spell with Benbar. I mean, that kind of, I mean, there probably was banking on him staying out on loan. So there's almost a kind of straight spot body back in as well. So it's, you know, with Brad going, it's not really freed up any space as of yet. But yeah, it was a little bit softening of the stands. I think what he said this after the game is probably the right thing. Is he, look, if there's an incredible talent available, whether it's a permanent signing or a loan sign, and you're not going to turn around and just ignore it just because, oh, I'm happy what I've got. If there's an opportunity to improve your team, you would hope that Andy's going to take. And I think when saying that, that's kind of what he's saying. If there's an opportunity, it needs to be someone who's going to come in, probably come in and start and make a difference, then you're going to entertain the idea of it.
And that keeps a little bit of excitement for us, because it's not like a January window if you don't get at least one in, even for something to talk about and get yourself excited about. We'll move into the game on Saturday, and for a large part of it, there wasn't much to get excited about, but thankfully, Aloha pulled through in the end, two goals in the 89th and 90th minute to secure 3 points on what was a massive 3 points with results going elsewhere. But we'll start from the start, I suppose. There was a couple of force changes with Devine and Scougal going out and Dave Mackay coming back in alongside Stephen Buchanan as well. Quite right, Stephen Buchanan coming into the squad after making such a big difference in the last game against Montrose. But it wasn't a full firing performance, especially in the first half. It was a bit of a slow burner and not quite as slick as what we'd seen the previous week or 2 weeks ago against Montrose.
I mean, the opening goal was 37th minute. I would say the first 35 minutes of this game are probably the worst 35 minutes of football I've seen anywhere this season. When, you know, watching, we're speaking of it. See, even when we were getting pasted by air at the start of the season, it was more entertaining than the first half an hour on Saturday. It was so bad. It was so, so bad. It was kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It was as if both teams were there, but they knew that Edinburgh are in such a state that ultimately Aloha were going to win this game. And it was just kind of, we just need to go through the motions and you know, both sides were going through the motions and that's what would ultimately happen. You know, maybe both teams would score, but ultimately Aller would win this by a couple of goals. And that's what happened. I'll be honest, I thought we were so poor. I thought we were so poor on Saturday. The two players I would pick out on Saturday, Kevin Colley, I thought, even in that insipid first half hour, everything was going through Kevin Colley and he started centrally. I thought Kev was brilliant on Saturday. I thought first half in particular, but we were talking before, you kind of mentioned the second half as well. The other player I wanted to pull out was Buchanan. I thought Buchanan was on fire on Saturday. He looked so confident, so full of running, and that left back, he had him on absolute toast for the first, you know, kind of 35, 40 minutes, unfortunately, until he went off injured. From what Andy said after the game, they're hoping they've kind of caught that until partly his hamstring is tweaked, but hopefully they've caught it in time. Whether he's a doubt for this Saturday, I would say it kind of looks that way, but hopefully it's not as bad as it could have been. That seen Kev kind of move out to, I think he went out to the right wing initially. Later on, he was out in the left wing and then back to the right again. But I thought Kevin Colley was really, really good. Out with those two, I thought, honestly, pretty much the rest of the Ali team were so far off it on Saturday. So far off it. And there was that feeling of pretty much just kind of sort of just going through the motions, I felt, on Saturday.
Yeah, it wasn't. I think the manager said that himself. We played 10 times. Well, he didn't say that, but we played a lot better against Montrose and we came away with a point. So yep. It shows good character to come away with all three. And I think that's the positive. And you can see that, again, it's Scott Taggart that's pushing into the six-yard box to push for that winner. The players are leaving it all out there for the manager and for the team. And that's positive, and that's exactly what you want to see, because it was a must-win game against the bottom of the league. But you're right in what you're saying. The first half was very flat. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, because like you say, the only real changes were bringing Buchanan into the team, and meaning Colley goes a bit more central. Colley's been getting all the praise for being in that central position, being the architect of a lot. You've heaped praise on Buchanan, so the changes that played so well against Edinburgh were good changes, but it just didn't seem to click. And I questioned, is it maybe a little bit of rust? Is it a little bit of we've not played over the Christmas, New Year period? But I think that would be unfair on the players to say that. I don't know what it was. It just, the tempo was really slow. There wasn't really much movement through the midfield into the attack. And to be fair to Edinburgh, they do lack quality and experience, but they certainly didn't lack any heart, and it's not a team that have given up or thrown the toys out the pram or it doesn't look, I don't think they're going through the motions as much. I think they are really trying all they can to get themselves out of this predicament. I just don't think they've got enough depth and quality to do it. It was a much changed team from the one that we previewed at the start of the week. There'd be plenty of there's four debutants in the starting 11. And a couple of them did impress, but it was the experienced guys like OZC that were giving them a little bit of a lifeline. But I thought we had a discussion off air comparing them to Peterhead of last year, and I think they're more competitive than that Peterhead team. They were up for it more. McIndoe speaks about pressing and harassing, and I think they did that mostly up until kind of the end of the game. And when Alloa's quality eventually shown, but it was a slow burner of a game, and it wasn't much to get excited about until, again, really good work from Buchanan, and who seems to be the man of the moment just now, Bobby Wales.
Yeah, I mean the goals are good. They got, you know, the three Alloa goals are all pretty decent goals, kind of for different reasons. The first one, as you say, is really good work from Buchanan. He stands up a great ball. It's a Dundee United loanee that I think he was making his SPFL debut. It was in goals for Edinburgh. And I'll be honest, I did not think much of him. And if I'm conceding this goal, I'm looking at the keeper kind of coming for this ball and not getting to it. But it's a good ball from Buchanan, and Bobby Wales does really well with the header. I think he beats Fontaine on the line as well. And you know, right away, I think the thought of most people was, you know, Bobby Wales, he gets his first goal for the club, a bench after such a long tie, and then the game against Kelty, unfortunately, is called off. But how good was it to see that, you know, the next game, Bobby Wales is backing that up. You know, it's not a one goal and everyone's kind of thinking, oh, well, that'll be it, here he goes now, and then we're waiting another five, six games for the next one. He's backed it up in the next game. And that, I said in my comments after, I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Wales just goes on a run And I'd be saying this when he wasn't scoring goals as well, that I felt he just needed one and that the goals were coming. And I think you kind of seen that on Saturday. Saturday wasn't his best game. I thought he still did okay, but he wasn't... I don't think we involved him as much as we have before. I thought the likes of Fontaine did okay up against him, but I felt it was more that we didn't get Bobby Wales as involved as we have in other games this season. That was the thing for me on Saturday.
Yeah.
The other Alloa goal, coming to the Edinburgh one in a wee second. The other Alloa goals, obviously the what looked like being the kind of the winner, Kevin Colley's deflected effort right at the end. Again, it was kind of there was almost an inevitability about it. It felt like it was coming. We were pressing a run of corners, and everyone, as you say, you've got Scott Taggart is on the byline collecting the ball. Scott Taggart does really, really well for this goal. It's talking there about the keeper not looking great. The one thing he did do was produce a really good save in the lead up to this goal. What Scott Taggart does in keeping the ball in, and he could have, I think it was Fontaine that was next day, could have kind of knocked it against. It could have been a corner, but he just keeps the ball alive and finds Kev, and Kev hammers it in. I think it is Fontaine. It might actually deflect
off
into the goals, but it was a good goal in itself. And then Ali Roy's the pick of the bunch, isn't it? A sublime, absolutely sublime finish. Just goes on a run, left foot from just outside the box, and fires it into the corner of the net. And it was good to see the celebrations from Ali Roy as well. I'll come on to Ali Roy in a wee second, but it was good to see how much he enjoyed that goal as well.
Yeah, you're quite right to take a wee whistle stop tour through the three goals, and I agree with all of what you're saying. And Bobby Wales's case, great to see him on the score sheet again. I thought quieter game, you said. Previous weeks he's been getting four or five chances, and not through much fault of his own, but they haven't been falling the right side of the goal. But now it seems that everything he touches turns to gold. I thought it was a challenge for him up against someone as experienced as Fontaine, although not as good as what he has been in previous years. He's an experienced defender, and I thought Wales did good against him. There was points in the game where it was a long ball up to the top, or there was a cross coming in, and Bobby Wales is never going to beat Liam Fontaine to a header, but you can see the intelligence of him peeling off the defenders, dropping into space, and that's how he gets his goal. So fair play to him, and hopefully now that he's started to find a bit of goal scoring form, we can keep a hold of him, because that's the biggest thing of this window that we keep banging on about. And I'm quietly, might be giving it the kiss of death, but quietly confident that we can keep a hold of him. That would be nice. It's also nice to see Colley awarded with that goal. I wasn't too sure on commentary whether it would go down as an own goal or Kev's, but it seems to have gone down as Kevin's goal, and a just reward for his performance on Saturday. And his performance since coming back into the team, there's a wee bit of a discussion on how Kevin Colley's been used by managers dating all the way back to Jim Goodwin, and maybe he's never really had that spell in his natural position since those days, and that's a heck of a long time, but he's still got acres of, he's still got, so much quality, and we've seen that on Saturday, and Taggart as well, with a little bit of calmness and coolness when it was needed. But that final point on Ali Roy, and that it leads me on, it's positive and leads me on to the question for discussion next, but Ali Roy, as we spoke about him a couple of weeks ago, has he become a little bit of a not forgotten man, but he started his Alloa career so hot and then has spent some time on the bench. But it was interesting that he was the one that was called upon in the first half to come off the bench, and he didn't have the busiest of games. It took him quite a while to get into it. I think that was just reflective of the Alloa performance. But when he collects that ball after Taggart's won it back, he's only got one thing on his mind. He's driving and he's hitting it. And we asked for goal of the season contenders, and Ali Roy, he must be listening, because it's maybe not a winner, but it certainly would have been a contender had we had the conversation last week, because the hit is so sweet, and that just pour out of passion after it was exactly what you want to see. And it takes him up to five goals for the season, which is a top goal scorer. But it kind of posed an interesting question, and I'll speak about it now, and we'll no doubt maybe touch upon it when we speak about the team for Saturday. It did mean a little change in formation ever so slightly, a more natural front two. And I questioned Lewis on commentary, do you think the Alloa performance being not as good as what we've seen in previous weeks, not as slick from midfield to front, is down to formation, or is it just because everyone's below par? And we spoke about it before here. It felt like a little bit of both. I think Roy and Wales are the two best players on paper for the attacking positions, but does it quite fit this Alouan mould and style of play?
It's a good question. It definitely was a change. You could see it going to a more kind of more 4-4-2, really. Let's say 4-4-2. It was kind of switched between a 4-4-2 and a 4-2-4, almost. You know, Colley and either Quinn Coulson or Taylor Stephen, as it was later on, were still very, very high up. You know, they were very, very high up. And there was at times, particularly late on when we were pushing for a winner, that, you know, we had 4, 5, 6 players really getting forward into the area. The bit you mentioned about Ali Roy was what I wanted to kind of, you know, after, you know, you'd kind of, you asked the question, what's happened to Ali Roy? And it was really interesting for me. As soon as Buchanan went down, Taylor Stephen and Ali Roy immediately were sent to warm up. And I thought it'll be Taylor Stephen that comes on here. My thinking with that was, you know, we've seen the last few weeks when we've looked at it for a replacement coming on in the second half, it's been Connor Salmon. Connor Salmon, obviously heard from Andy after the game that he's way back to Ireland just now, so he wasn't there on Saturday. But it's been Salmon that had been favoured coming on up top as opposed to Ali Roy. Now, for me, when it was that, you know, Buchanan going down that right midfielder, I thought it made more sense. I thought the natural change would have been Taylor Stephen that came on, but it was Ali Roy. So I thought that was interesting that Ali got the nod there to bring him on. Was interested to see how they were going to play that. I thought at first it kind of looked as if he was going to put Ali out onto the right-hand side, almost like a straight swap. But to be honest, I think pretty much straight away they put Kev out to the right, and it was more of a kind of 4-4-2. In terms of if it worked or not, I'm not sure. I'm kind of with you. I think there was it's a bit of both with it, that we were just so far off it on Saturday, and perhaps playing that kind of shape that we weren't as familiar with. Now, did that negate Bobby Wales a bit? Is that why Bobby's had a bit of a quieter game? Possibly. You know, it might have been the fact that there's two recognised strikers there. We're maybe looking for less from Bobby Wales, and he's having to do less, so that maybe that's why he's looked a bit quieter. I don't know. I'm not going to say the system didn't work. I didn't think it flowed particularly well. But for me, the bigger part for me was just so many guys were off it. So many guys were off it. So, you know, talked about Taggart. I mean, up until the goal, I thought Taggart had a really poor game on Saturday. Cammy on the left-hand side, you know, one of my favourite Aloha players. Again, I thought Cammy was poor on Saturday. Morgan Neal and Dave Mackay at the back. I mean, they didn't have an awful lot to do. And I wouldn't have said they had a terrible game. I think what's disappointing when you look at the goal that Edinburgh City scored is if you freeze it just before the ball comes into the box, there's around about 6, 7, 8 Alloa players are all in and around their own box, and OZC still manages to get to the ball and score. That's a frustrating one for that. I think it's Taggart he beats to the ball in it. But, you know, the pair of them were okay. They were nothing special. And in the midfield, Curtis Roberts and Stevie Heller, I thought, were miles off it as well on Saturday. Talked before about Buchanan and Kevin Colley, I thought, were very good. Bobby Wales, I thought, was decent enough. But Quinn Coulson, Taylor Stephen, when he came on, I thought they were really poor as well. I think that's the bigger thing for me, that, you know, I'm going through that team and there was so many of them that I would say were so far off where we've seen them, particularly in the last few weeks. There were certainly a level or two below what we've started to be accustomed to seeing them play. And that's probably the bigger thing for me rather than the shape. It poses an interesting question for this week, though.
Yeah, it wasn't, as we said, it wasn't the most glittering performance, but I think it's important to say that, it was a victory, and as the manager said, it's the most important thing about Saturday was getting that monkey off our back against Edinburgh City and getting the 3 points, and with results elsewhere in the division, a couple of draws, it was a massive 3 points for us. It moved us up to fifth in the table, a point behind Montrose with a game extra played, and sets us up really nicely going into Saturday as well. And it was important for the players to get that 3 points, to get that first home victory for Andy, to continue the unbeaten run of five. And it's, when you put it into that perspective, it feels a bit longer because we've had, you know, a week off, but Andy's only really has only lost one game since coming into the club, and that's from the situation that we were in at the start of the season. That's really impressive. We banged on about needing to have this run, and I think we're unlucky to not have more points within those five unbeaten as well, going off the Montrose game. So it's good for the players to get that, and again, that character to get those last minute goals. It was different. I'd never managed to get up to Cove, but on Saturday, to me, even when the clock was ticking down, 86-87, I still thought we'd win. This Alloa side would get the goal or the goals to win the game, and they could have had a couple more. Actually, there was a point that they broke at 3-1, and I thought the floodgates have really opened. It's going to be four before we know it. But it's another last minute goal similar to Cove, and if you've got that trait in your locker as a team and as a group and that mentality, it's only going to stand you in good stead. And it's our first victory on New Year's Day, or the first game in New Year's since 2017, which is quite a stat. I wasn't expecting that. So we've started the year in the right way for the first time since 2017.
Yeah, I mean, as you kind of say, was that inevitable? I mean, I was the opposite. I didn't feel a goal was coming. I just didn't think we looked like scoring at all on Saturday. But it's great, as you say, that getting that mentality, particularly when, you know, we've seen early in the season against Hamilton away, we concede in stoppage time. Montrose away, we concede in stoppage time to lose games. It's nice now to be on the other side of it. And look, we were fortunate a couple of times last season as well, with a couple of kind of last minute winners, I think in the first half of the season in particular. They're also down at, like, say, Queen of the South and things like that with Ross McKeever. They're great. Last minute winners are great, and getting that mentality of the team are never beat, you know, that's a great characteristic for the team to have. But they're in a good run just now, and as you say, and I was really disappointed with it. I was really disappointed with us overall on Saturday. I thought we were just so poor against a rubbish team. You know, let's be honest, Edinburgh were rubbish. I mean, they're bottom of the league, and I can't see them going anywhere else other than down. And I expected more from us on Saturday. But as you kind of said, what Andy said after the game was, you know, we've played a lot better. We played much better against Hamilton, came away with a point. We played much better against Montrose and came away with a point. We played much better against Hamilton in the first game against them this season and came away with nothing. So ultimately, the fact that we've walked away with 3 points is the most important thing. I want the performance there as well against a bottom of the table team. That's a big thing for me. But you look at our form, as you said, I think we've got 11 points from our last six league games, which I believe is joint second best form in the division. So it shows you that it is a good run that the team are on just now. And as you say, up to fifth, game in hand on Montrose, you know, win the game in hand. I mean, you've got the Annan game, you've got the Kelty game rearranged as well. I think that's the thing for me, the games in hand, and we're not talking about the games in hand are against Falkirk, as an example. The games that we've got in hand are Annan, who are second bottom, and Kelty, who are right beside us, and I think they're sitting in sixth now. So it's two eminently winnable games that we have in hand. So, you know, I'm looking at those and think those are two games we should win. And, you know, that puts us well into the playoff hunt, and kind of puts us in a nice position sitting in fourth. But yeah, they're on a good run. They're on a good run. I was disappointed with the performance on Saturday, but yeah, ultimately it's 3 points.
Yeah, and I've seen somebody mention that Alloa were on a bit of a hiding to nothing on Saturday. I wouldn't quite go as far as that, because it's not like we're playing a completely non-league team where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Obviously, you want to see a good performance, but it felt like on Saturday, the way that the game was going, it was one of those ones, let's just tick this off. They're a bit of a bogey team. Yeah. Well, they're not a bit. They are a bogey team for Alloa. let's tick it off, get the 3 points, and move on. And thankfully, we left it late, but we did it, and carries momentum onto what is a massive game at Palmerston on Saturday. This Saturday, we do travel down to Palmerston to take on Queen of the South. As mentioned in the first half of the podcast, Alloa are currently sitting in fifth on 25 points, 2 points ahead of Marvin Bartley's men in seventh. Like we said, we've got Daniel coming on later in the pod, so we won't talk too much about Queen of the South, but it's a bit of a it's a continued weird situation at Palmerston. They had an awful start to the season, yeah, which we were all too aware of. They beat Dundee United in the Cup, thought that could be a turning point, only to be beaten 5-0 the previous week, the following week, against Hamilton. And after that, they had a little bit of an upturn in form, I would say. Picked up points against Montrose, Edinburgh, and an Athletic in the Derby as well. But just going off the feeling off of Pye and Bovril, and I heard a supporter on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Saturday, despite losing 1-0 to Falkirk, I think the manner of the performance, they didn't clock a single shot on target. In fact, they only had one shot all game and it was off target. It already feels like, you know, the pitchforks are out for Marvin Bartley, despite having a little bit of an upturn in form. And it alludes a little bit to what I said last week about Brian Rice. It only really felt like one result away from returning back. And that's what it feels like with Queen of the South. And they're still in that same precarious position as what they were. It's everything is just at a boiling point, and it makes it an interesting game for Alloa. Big in our own perspective, but if we touch on Queen of the South, absolutely massive for them.
Yeah, your kind of comparison there, Brian Rice, that's literally what was going through my head as we were kind of talking through it there. It does kind of feel like there's just something not right at all. Something not right. And as you say, you would say going to the Falkirk Stadium and getting beat 1-0, there's no kind of shame in that result at all. But as you say, that it appears the manner of it, you know, 15 shots to one, you know, not a single shot on target for Queen of the South. To be fair, Falkirk only had three shots on target, but it appears the manner of it. I've not listened to Marvin Bartley's interview from after the game, but from comments I've seen about it, it appears to be along the lines of, you know, really pleased, effectively saying, you know, we've came to the top of the table and we've only got beat 1-0. That's great kind of thing. That would massively concern me. That would hugely, hugely concern me as a Queen of the South fan. I don't know what. It seemed a very, very bold, a very good appointment from Queen of the South. I thought it was an excellent appointment to bring Marvin Bartley in. It just does not seem to have worked one bit. I think as well, I mean, they've possibly been hit harder than anyone else in the league this season in terms of injuries. I think the last time we played them, we were talking about that as well, about how, you know, they suffered injuries in the first half of the season, and they're in a little bit, I'll speak with Daniel later, but I believe they're in a little bit of an injury crisis just now as well. So they've not had their troubles to seek in that respect, but there's just something not right. There's just something not right at all at Palmerston, and it seems to be on the park, off the park. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but something's not right.
Yeah, like you said, Daniel's going to come on to speak a little bit later, so no point going into any of the Queen of the South sort of players or the ones missing. Of note, off the top of my head, you're missing your Gavin Riley's, your Daniel Church's, so it's a big loss for them. And I'm looking at the Queen of the South team that started against Falkirk last Saturday, and It's funny because Alloa have a really good record against Queen of the South this season alone. You know, we've taken 6 points out of six, but I never seem to go down to Palmerston expecting an easy game or expecting to, you know, dominate. And even the games that we do win, it's always even. It's always a tough afternoon. But you look at this Queen of the South team, there's a lot of unrecognisable names in the starting 11. Jacob Hutchison started up front for Queen of the South. I'm not too sure much about him. I think he's played down south a little bit, but it's not sort of your Stephen Dobie is a perfect example. We're not going to play the likes of Stephen Dobie, London Dykes. They have had a bit of a fall from grace in the last 5 years, and Alloa should be going there unbeaten in five, having taken six out of six against them this season. They should be going there with the confidence that they can go back to playing their style of football and really take the game to Queen of the South. And it's similar to when we go to Falkirk and you get the early goal, or the early goal for the home side doesn't come that quickly, you start to feel the frustration in the home end that feeds onto the pitch, and you would hope that that feeds to the Alloa players in a positive aspect as well, because this is a game that Alloa should be cautious, of course, it's a full-time team, but should go into with confidence, because what it could mean if you take all 3 points is absolutely huge.
Yeah, what you're saying there about that, I kind of think that's what happened in the first game of the season. You know, okay, Queen of the South scored, you know, in the first couple of minutes, but the fact that Alloa hit back so quickly and then got another couple of goals. And right away, I felt that you could feel that nervousness came onto the play. You know, you'd seen, you know, like the centre halves knocking the ball out of the pitch and the left back knocking the ball out of the pitch. Yeah, like just passing to no one. And it was like that kind of that anxiety, that nervousness, that pressure was kind of seeping onto the pitch from the start. You could kind of see that in that game. I'm the same as you. Like, and I mean, I'll even say now, I mean, despite the kind of the run and everything like that, and you know, we've beat them twice. I really think a draw is what I'm going to plump for my prediction this week. And right now, I'd take a draw. You know, I'd take a draw. I never really have the confidence going down there, but it is somewhere that we tend to do quite well. I think what I would say is we normally always compete, and I think that's kind of what you're alluding to. We normally always compete well with them. I would say it's one of the games last season, was it the first game of the season last season against them where Ross equalised near the end. I mean, it was a game that we were never, ever in. Never in at all. It was the first game down there. We were never in the game and we stole a point that day. It's probably the only time I'd say we didn't compete against kind of Queen of the South, particularly down there. But yeah, I never feel that confident. I think probably the fact it's a full-time team as well. You know, you've got that challenge going against them. But hopefully the guys can take the momentum of the run that they're on and go down in there and get 3 points. Because as you say, the 3 points on Saturday would be significant. You know, you talk there, Queen of the South are only 2 points behind us. Now, bear in mind, they've played two more games than us. But you go down there on Saturday, you're making that gap, you know, a 5 point gap with two games in hand as well. You're pretty much splitting the league in two. Or I suppose you could say the league is kind of split from the top two as well. Anyway. But, you know, the bottom eight, shall we call it, you're going to split that eight in two if we get the 3 points on Saturday. So it's a massive, massive 3 points to go for.
I think the reason why Alloa can compete in these games is because even when Alloa aren't playing well, Queen of the South are a team that are not able to kill anybody off. I mean, they've beaten teams I think they beat Montrose 4-1, but it never really seems like they're able to kill Alloa off. And as you've seen in previous weeks with the Cove game and Edinburgh City, this Alloa team are going to fight to the very last minute. So if the inability to make it 2 goals to the advantage or 3 goals to the advantage, Alloa are always going to fancy their chances. And I can think of many times at Palmerston where we've grabbed late goals. That Ross McKeever one is only one example. Kirkpatrick, Kevin O'Hara, you know, we normally do compete right to the very last minute, and I wonder if that's also a bit of Queen of the South unable to really finish us off. And Gavin Riley's the man who's always gets a goal against us, normally a penalty, but he always loves to play against Alloa. And with no Gavin Riley this week, it's you wonder where their goals are going to come from. Lee Connolly's one that we spoke about. We like him probably because he's played for us and done well for us, but doesn't seem to be getting a look in either. So it's one of those ones that who are you looking for that's going to cause, you know, serious damage that we can't bring ourselves back into this game? The last game we go down a goal in the first couple of minutes, but, you know, automatically we're right back up the other end and we're in the game again, and then another couple of minutes later we're ahead. So there's frailties in that Queen of the South team. But from an Alloa perspective, I would feel a lot more confident that we won't have anything to bring back if David Devine is back from injury. I'm not too sure. I didn't hear anything about that in the post-match interview. I seen David at the game, never spoke to him to ask, but for me, he's been our best centre-half this season out of Dubai, O'Neill, Mackay. I think Devine is just slightly ahead of them, and if he could come back into the team, I mean, it probably is going to be for David Mackay, who I thought didn't play that badly on Saturday, I must admit. But for me, if David Devine can come back in, it gives me a bit more confidence and stability at the back. It goes back to the you know, the foundations that we're starting to build, and hopefully that's the case. But if not, hopefully the defence can stay strong and keep the back door shut.
It needs to be better than how they started the first game of the season down there. And we're talking about Dave Mackay. Dave Mackay was at fault for the opening goal without question. Devine as well didn't cover himself in glory in terms of tracking back. But that whole start of that game, it needs to be better than that. You know, it needs to be much better no matter who's playing. Interesting, mentioned DeBio. There's something we never mentioned with the Edinburgh game. He was back on the bench on Saturday. So as the first time he's been involved in the squad for a long time. So good to obviously see him being back. Yeah, I'm with you. My hope would be that Devine would be fit, and I'm the same. I'd bring Devine back in. In terms of the back line, that's really the only change I would make. I'd bring Devine in for Dave Mackay. If Devine isn't fit, I would expect it to go the same. Dave Mackay, look, I've criticised Dave Mackay a lot this season since he came in. To me, he's not, from day one, he's never looked up for it. To be honest, from what I can remember of him at Queen's last year, he didn't look up for it. He didn't look up to scratch last year. And I think that's kind of part of my judgment. But I'll say that the couple of games where he's came in the last kind of few weeks or so, Dave Mackay's done all right. He's done fine. I wouldn't... In terms of the goal on Saturday, Morgan Neal needs to do better at the goal last Saturday. It's a poor attempt to head that away. I don't really put any of the blame at the door of Dave Mackay for the goal on Saturday. I thought Dave Mackay did okay, but I would be happier with David Devine in for him on Saturday at Palmerston.
Yeah, I think David's just having a good season, and we spoke about how much he stayed fit, and it's ironic that he's now injured, but hopefully it's one of those ones that we've caught early and he can come back, because I think he's missed maybe one or two games this season, but it's never really been that long spent out the team, so hopefully he comes back in. If he does, that, you know, the defence and the goalkeeper pick itself at the moment, your holding midfielders pick themselves. I think the only real conversation is regarding the Stephen Buchanan position. I'm assuming that even if we've caught it early, a hamstring is going to take maybe 3 days to die down. He's going to miss training on the Tuesday. He'll come back on the Thursday. He might get assessed on Tuesday or Thursday, but whatever happens, it's not a quick process when it comes to a hamstring injury. He's not, I would be very surprised to see him start on Saturday. So I think there is a position going up front. And to me, it's a conversation of whether you go Taylor Stephen and go like for like, or whether you do that little bit of a shift and bring in Ali Roy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to be surprised if Stephen Buchanan plays. I really hope he's fit. If he is, I would start
same
him.
Yeah.
But I, as you say, it's a hamstring. I'd be surprised if he's available. For me, I think I'd go the like for like route. To be honest, I think if we were talking about a home game against maybe Kelty or Annan or something like that, I might be inclined to say I probably go with the two up top. I think away to Queen of the South, I'd probably try and keep the system the same. I would say it's maybe a little bit more conservative, and I think that's why I would go with it. For me, if Stephen Buchanan is unavailable, I would probably go with Taylor Stephen and Quinn Coulson as the kind of wide. I'd keep Kev in centrally, and then Bobby Wales in up top. That would kind of be my kind of four that I'd be going with. I think it's maybe a bit unfortunate on Ali Roy after his goal on Saturday. I think there is a chance we do go with Bobby Wales and Ali Roy together. But for me, I probably would go with Taylor Stephen on the right-hand side, Quinn Coulson on the left, and then Bobby Wales with Kevin Colley just behind him.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a little bit inside me that says if Ali Roy plays and starts, he'll score because it's against Queen of the South and he loves
it's
a goal against
club. Yeah,
a
it's an ex-club. Club.
But out of the three, I include Coulson in that, Stephen Coulson and Roy, you know, who deserves, or not who deserves, but who's shown most in their flashes in the last game or so? It's Ali Roy, but it's just unfortunate for Ali Roy that his position is, you know, he needs to be playing where Bobby Wales is playing, and Bobby's the one that's untouchable in that lineup. I think if you look at the two subs, Stephen and Roy, who made more of an impact? Well, clearly Roy with that excellent goal, but who's going to do the job in the team that we want? Who's going to keep the shape and do the driving runs that Buchanan did? It's Taylor Stephen and Quinn Coulson. So it's players that suit the task more, I think, which is a shame on Ali Roy, because he has bided his time and he's come in and he's taken that opportunity. But I think we will see a like for a like sub in the attacking areas, and hopefully that means that we can get the likes of Bobby Wales a little bit more involved in the game, and he can have that sort of influence that he had a couple of weeks ago. And if he's going to have a quiet game, at least he can do what he did on Saturday and get on the receiving end of a cross to put in. But that'll only come if you've got your kind of two wide men high and wide, and the Coulson and Taylor Steven have got that responsibility to feed the striker.
Yeah, I can expect us to go that way. If it's Valeroy starts and we kind of go with that to our top, it might happen, but I think I'd prefer us other way. I think the potential spanner in the works, Skugel. Might we see Skugel back? Might be a week early for him. Might be a week early based on what was getting said when he got injured. I think if Skugel was back and fit enough to start, you might see him start and Kevin Colley pushed out to the right-hand side in that case. But yeah. I would be surprised if Skugs is back.
I think if he's got a scent of being fit, then absolutely you would do that little shift and put Colley out to the right and Skugel into the midfield. There was a couple of comments on Pine Bovro and I thought they were quite harsh to some of the Alloa players. There was one that said Edinburgh City players would walk into our team, and there was another one that said Roberts was overrated, Hetherington was overrated, and Skugel wouldn't start over Colley. And it's that last, I mean, I don't agree with any of them. Entitled to your opinion, I don't personally agree that I think Roberts is underrated, if nothing else, and Hetherington is a key player for Alloa. But the point on Stephen Skugel, if Skuggs is fit, he starts every week for Alloa. You make a, and I know that's unfair on Kevin because we've spoken about how good he is centrally, but when you've got a player of Skuggs' class, you find a way to put him in. And we'll have a similar conversation when Donnelly's fit as well. They're players that are just too good to sit on the bench, and without disrupting the team too much, you're going to get them in. And with Skugel, he came in and he didn't disrupt the team at all. He was sharp right off the bat. And he was ready to go. And if he is ready on Saturday, you just find a way because he's that good.
I mean, I'll caveat with Kev's playing really well. Kev's playing really well just now. That I actually think it is a discussion at this point. Now, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, that being the situation, I'd be saying right away, Skugel comes straight back in. You know, without a single question, Skugel comes straight back in. I'll be honest, Kev's playing really, really well just now. And I think it is a discussion. Just
he stays in the team
on
for
that
me,
one.
But you fit both.
I would consider starting him centrally. You know, say that both of them. I would consider starting him centrally with Skugs on the bench. I do think he's playing at a level just now where that's a discussion. As I say, a month or so back, I wouldn't have had that same discussion. The other point is, Robert's saying, completely agree with you. That Edinburgh team walking into ours, absolutely not. I mean, we're talking about that Edinburgh team in the same light that we talked about Peterhead last year. Probably the worst team I've ever seen Alloa play against. They were that bad, and we're talking about them in not the same light, but a similar light. So I thought that was wild. That was a wild one. That
yeah, I love that. Yeah, okay, every fan's got their own opinion and entitled to it.
Exactly.
But going back to the game, we'll get a score prediction in a minute, but it is a massive game because obviously we've got no league action next week as well, so it's one of those ones where you're going to spend a little bit more time in whatever position you end up in, and it could be the playoffs, and what a nice position that would be going into the Scottish Cup. We'll talk about the Scottish Cup when it comes, but if you can go into that game 6 unbeaten, the mentality of a 6 unbeaten team compared to a team that's only won once in the last 13 or 14, despite the quality, little things you're going to take into your favour. These are little things to put in a team talk. But the game itself is a massive one because although Montrose play at home to Stirling Albion, you can see them getting a result, but it just keeps us in pace to get into those playoffs. And I'm like you, though. I think I would take a draw at the moment and keep the unbeaten status and keep the positive feeling around the club. But there's no reason why Alloa can't go out down there and get all 3 points.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you're saying about the other matches, by the time this goes out, Falkirk will have played Cove in midweek, but it's not really affecting us much. Yeah, Edinburgh at home at Falkirk, expecting Falkirk to win that. Hamilton at home to Cove, honestly, anything could happen there. Kelty at home at Anna, I'm expecting Kelty to win. Montrose at home at Stirling, I'm expecting Montrose to win, and then ourselves down at Palmerston. So to me, it's kind of what I talked about earlier about this result could literally split that sort of, this could potentially split the bottom the bottom eight of the tier, take Falkirk and Hamilton out of it, this could literally split the other eight of us in two, and you could see Queen of the South still in Albion and an Athletic, and Edinburgh being, you know, really, really adrift after this result if we get our 3 points and the other results go the way that I think they probably will. So yeah, as you say as well, I think the fact that, yeah, it's not, you know, a couple of weeks until the next league game, and you got to bear in mind next league game I think is Falkirk as well. It'll be home to Falkirk. Again, it's not a game that I'm really expecting us to take anything from, if I'm being perfectly honest, despite the fact that we're obviously playing well just now. I think, you know, this Falkirk team is on a different level to what we've seen previously. But if you win on Saturday, a couple of weeks, then you've got the Falkirk game, and then we've got a run of games. It's like another little mini spell again, where we've got Annan Athletic away, we've got the Beanos at home, we've got then the rearranged game midweek of Annan at home, and then we've got Cove Rangers at home. So we've got, yeah, you're looking at what, four out of our next five league games after this are at home. You know, there's a big chance to take a chunk of points here. And as I say, you've got two games against Annan in there, you've got a derby against Stirling as well, you've got a Cove team that we've beaten twice as well. Really good opportunity to be looking. I mean, you could be looking at the end of this spell coming towards, that would take us to what, the middle of February?
Yeah.
You could be looking towards that run at the middle of February and being in a pretty strong playoff position. You know, you could be in a very, very strong playoff position, and it starts on Saturday. For me, I'm predicting a draw. I'm gonna say one each for Saturday. And to be honest, right now I'd take a draw. I think that would be I think that's a more than acceptable result on Saturday. But if they could go out there and get 3 points, again, it keeps that kind of the run against Queen of the South, so to speak. You know, talked about it's a team 6 points out of six. So worst case, we're splitting the points with Queen of the South this season. Before the start of the season, you're probably going to take that. Same with Cove Rangers. We know we're at worst splitting the points. But if you can go in there and take 9 points out of 12, you know, or even take 7 out of 12 against, like, say, Queen of the South and Cove, that's going to put you in a good position come the end of the year.
Yeah, now we seem to be taking care of teams at the bottom of the league as well. So hopefully that will put us in a good position. I'm going to go a draw as well. Did anybody predict 3-1 last week for the Edinburgh?
You did indeed, yes. Yes, you did indeed.
Thanks. I must also say that my 8-year-old cousin, who can't name a single Aoha player, also predicted 3-1 on the car up. So he's also ahead of you, Kev, in the prediction league. But I'm going to go with a draw. I think there will be goals in it. Normally it's you that says there'll be goals and I'm the one that's a little bit more conservative, but I think there will be action on this, just because I think the Queen of the South team are quite leaky, and most of the games, most of them at Palmerston involve a lot of action. Maybe I'm just slightly tinted by the last fixture there. So I'll go for 2-2, and I would take, I would take a 2-2, but I would take a point every day of the week, keep the momentum going. But
yeah,
there's no reason why we shouldn't be going down there thinking we can take all three, and hopefully the players can replicate that as well. But a point would do, and it would keep Queen of the South below us. It would give an interesting question for the Queen of the South board and the supporters in the stands as well, and that would aid Alawa's playoff hopes as well.
I'm joined then for the final part of this week's podcast with our resident Queens fan, Daniel. Daniel, good to have you back on. How are you this evening?
Aye, not bad, Kev. Thanks for inviting me back again.
Yeah, no problem at all. Fresh off an interesting weekend, a defeat on the Saturday, but a good day, I believe, on the Sunday, celebrating a certain Queen of the South legend.
Aye, it was good to have some decent players back at Palmerston. we'll never see the likes again, especially Dobie. But even some of the other ones, it was really, really good to reminisce almost, and then feel depressed that we'll never see such good players again, more than likely the rate of notes that we have going just now.
Yeah, I can imagine you could do with some of that lot in the current Queen's team. We'll go on to the current Queen's team. Myself and Kieran there, we were talking earlier on. We kind of say that it feels like there's a doom and gloom around Queen of the South. And you look at the league table, you know, sitting seventh, I think as well, if I mean, you're only 2 points behind ourselves in fifth, but, you know, played a couple of extra games, and it feels, what I've kind of said is, it feels like something's just not right, and I don't really know exactly what it is. I kind of then look at the form and obviously defeat last weekend to Falkirk. But, you know, with Falkirk, there's no kind of shame in that defeat. And you look at the results before that, it's three wins out of the previous four, and indeed the previous four were all unbeaten. Is there a corner being turned? And or what's the feeling like down at Palmerston?
Well, there's no corner being turned for me, unfortunately. I think Montrose just must have had an off day. By all accounts, we were really good, which is really quite confusing. We actually seem to have had a go, and we were deserving the win. But I mean, when you take it, strip it back, I mean, you had Edinburgh in amongst there, which is, I mean, it's young boys, let's face it. The boys will probably hold up the table come the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then you've got Annan, which I suppose you could argue it's a derby, so any derby win's a good win, regardless of form and what have you. But Annan are quite poor, in all honesty, and we never looked much better than them. And obviously, I think it was Stirling away as well, which I thought was a good point. I was quite optimistic when we drew with Stirling, but then reading a lot of the reviews, it wasn't a particularly good performance. So I just kind of think it was a bit of a false dawn. And for me, it was the Falkirk game was the one I thought, if we can get a point at Falkirk, or even somehow get a win, then I'll believe Bartley stumbled upon something here. But it was absolutely pitiful. And his post-match interview probably annoyed me more than when he slated the whole team. I just thought, how you can smile and be happy with no shots on target. I don't care who you're playing, and if you're in the same division, that's an absolutely horrendous start. At any level, in my opinion. No short. I mean, Falkirk, I think they're going to win the league. I think McGlynn's got them playing. They've got the quality there, unfortunately. But I think they'll take the division. But still, we were supposed to be competing with them at the start of the season. And I don't recall Bartley saying, well, at the start of the season, do you know, Falkirk and Hamilton, we've not got a chance, boys. And now all of a sudden he's like, ah, look, it's a big team. Nah, it doesn't wash with me, I'm afraid. I mean, his plan there was clearly to go for a point, which I've no really got an issue with that, because Falkirk are so good just now. But your plan A can't be your plan B if the opposition goes 1-0 up. Do you know? You can't just sit in for a point if you're 1-0 down. You need to go for it. So I don't think we've turned a corner, unfortunately. And in all honesty, as much as we are, like when you look at the table, as you say, we have got a chance in the playoffs. I don't think there's a chance we're going to get there because we're so inconsistent. And B, I really don't particularly want us to humiliate ourselves in the playoffs, because if we even finished fourth, do you know what I mean? I think we'd get absolutely hammered. So, to me, it's just about seeing the season out, which is quite depressing at this stage of the year.
Speaking of seeing the season out, we've just seen Marvin Bartley celebrate his year. He's just gone over a year in charge at Queen's. Is he likely to see the season out?
I think he will. I know, like, obviously there's talk and pie involved, like some boys are saying that they kind of want us to get beat on Saturday and that'll be the final nail in the coffin. But as much as I'd love it to be true, I wish I shared those guys' optimism. To me, it's maybe being a bit too confident, but I don't think we're in any real danger of getting relegated. Edinburgh are basically under 17s. And Annan are, for all they should have got more out of us. They're quite a terrible team, so I'll be gobsmacked if they're no ninth. And the way we seem to be running now, I think our board's like, look, might as well just see it. We're no going to get relegated. Why waste money almost? And I don't know if a new man coming in would turn that around. I mean, certainly there's no chance we're finishing top. That obviously, that's a given. But I don't think a new man even coming in, even like a January transfer window, is going to make us strong enough to kind of compete with Hamilton for the second spot. So no, I don't think he'll be going. I'd love to be proven wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I can't see it, in all honesty.
Do you think he's likely to do much business in there with the transfer window being open?
I mean, Bartley said, for all like kind of have a go at the board, Bartley said that there is funds available and that he's looking to bring people in. But you kind of, it's very much like last season under Gibson when he was coming up for his January one. It's like, but would you trust this man to bring more players in? I mean, because he's made a bit of a hash of it. For all I do think they have got a handful of really good players, potentially, I just wouldn't trust them in January. And like I say, I don't think even, like in my opinion, our base players, he's not getting the best out of. So even if they did bring in a player that we kind of got excited about, I'm kind of sceptical that Bartley will get the boy playing to his potential anyway. So it's quite depressing how negative. I mean, I'm a pessimistic Queens fan at the best of times, but this is probably the lowest I've ever felt supporting them. And I'm just like, oh, what's the point? Do you know, and I'll always go when I can. I'm not saying I've chucked the towel with them. But in regards to like signings and that, I'm like, oh, well, here's hoping. But I think Bartley will make a backside of it again, in all honesty.
Something myself and Kieran talked about earlier, we kind of said that we kind of felt something we would kind of say about Bartley over the season is he's not his troubles to seek in terms of injuries. I feel like Queens have probably been hit harder than pretty much any other team in the division, I think, over the entire season, really, in terms of injuries. Can I understand that there seems to be a little bit of an injury crisis? I've got a feeling we actually talked about this last time you were on, before the last time we played, that there was a bit of an injury crisis then. It appears that Gavin Riley might be the latest that appears to be croaked. I believe he was in a stookie or something like that for his hand or his arm. He's obviously a guy who loves scoring against Alloa, already got a couple of goals against Alloa this season and seems to score against us every single time we play. What's the kind of latest there? Are you kind of struggling again for numbers?
Yeah, I mean, that is fair. For all I've kind of done with Bartley, he has had horrendous luck. Now, I mean, I don't know, like, if it is, there is a kind of running joke now that there seems to be there seems to always be an injury. Like, you don't know, like, the team lineup, if somebody's not in the starting 11, you're usually thinking, oh, he must be injured. And I mean, like, Pierre Harry Cochran, he did, I think he pulled a muscle on his back getting up for a table. So some of them have been quite comical. Do you know, even Gavin Riley, Bartley says that he's broke a finger running into somebody, like, on the training pitch. So, I mean, some of them are sound like quite freak, like, injuries, to be fair. And he has had, like I say, to me, one of our best midfielders looked like it was going to be Regan Mimno. Harry Cochran's been out, and to me, Harry Cochran's a massive player for us. He's one of those. It was no surprise he came back in, and that's when we got the result at Montrose. That wasn't coincidental for me. And since he's went back out, we look rubbish again. And obviously, Jack Bryden's a massive loss at the back. And if we've lost Riley, that's a huge loss as well. So, I mean, you could argue he's lost his best player in every single area of the park. I think goalkeepers, touch wood, Harry Stone will probably get a concussion on Saturday now. But he's about the only, that's the only area where we've been strong all season.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I'm not saying Queens are a rich team. We're obviously not a rich team. But you've got part-time teams that'll have a lesser budget. So that's up to Bartley to cover that, do you know? And to me, we've not got the depth. So it only goes so far, in my opinion, with injuries. As much as he has had horrendous luck, there should be enough quality to cover that. And to me, there's just no... Or even there is, and he's, for whatever reason, leaving even better players out. It's a bit frustrating, to say the least.
Is there a concern if Riley is unavailable on Saturday where the goals are going to come from? It kind of feels like, when you look at that Queen's squad... given the position they're in, there's evidently weaknesses in a lot of areas. And when I look at the league table, it kind of stands out, the goals conceded, 33 league goals conceded. Now, bear in mind that Queens have played 20 games. They've played, at least a game, two games more than a lot of the teams that are kind of around there. But it's the third worst defence in the league. It's suggestion there's obviously been issues at the back. Now, you mentioned there about Bryden. Has obviously been missing for most of the season. You've got the experience of someone like Seffi Ambrose. I noticed that they extended that deal to the end of the season as well. But I'm kind of looking up front, and I think without Riley there, maybe it's partly because he always seems to be the person who's scoring against ourselves. But is there a concern there if Riley's not in, that where do these goals come from?
Aye, definitely. I mean, he went with the boy Hutchison against Falkirk. And I mean, I think it's harsh from the boy. He's not had much game time, but he's not really looked up to very much. And to me, you've got Hutchison there available with Riley injured, and you've got Conley. It's like, come on, man, it's the obvious option. And to me, when I seen Hutchison, my first thought was, well, he's just got to stand up there and be a target for, like, hold the ball as much as he can. I mean, Conley can make a goal at nothing. Do you know, we've seen it time and again. So why would he not put a better threat on? Whereas to me, I've not seen any threat. I think the boy scored once. But he's never looked threatening. Do you know? Same way, what's his face? Oh, I forgot his name now. Because he's hardly played Doherty. He looks busy. But again, I don't particularly think he's got to score bags of goals. So I would say if he plays Conley on Saturday, providing Riley's out, there's a wee bit of a chance that we might get a goal. But if it's Hutchison again, I don't know where they're coming from. You've got any hope that Gibson can pull, if Gibson even plays, can pull a wee bit of magic out the hat, or it'll be a set piece, which is, again, it's absolutely pitiful for a side that's supposed to be going for promotion, that we're like, oh, our goal's one man down and that's our goal threat gone. Do you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
We'll go on to Saturday then. You're looking at the games sort of early in the season. We kind of did a sort of half season review in last week's episode, and we talked about the opening game of the season. The 4-3 game was probably the game of the season in terms of Alloa so far. The return fixture then at the Rex was a lot closer, a 1-0 victory for Alloa in that. So Alloa in the two games so far, I've taken maximum points out of it. How do you see, I suppose, two questions on how do you see Saturday going? First of all, can Queens kind of arrest the what seems to be one of Alloa's favourite away days now down at Palmerston? And I suppose the second one is, do you see it more like the first game of the season, kind of crazy, lots of goals and open, or more like the second, a much closer, tighter affair?
I think it will be tighter regardless, because obviously, Bartley was dead chuffed with only getting beat 1-0 at Falkirk. So I think he'll, defensively, is bound to line up similarly in regards to, right, keep it tight at the back, unfortunately, again. But to me, I think it will be a tighter game regardless, because he's not going to want to change with that side of the things. And similarly, I don't think we're exactly going to be a massive threat, even with Riley. We'll be more of a threat, obviously, if Riley or Conley start. But I don't think he'll sacrifice losing, weakening us at the back to go, do you know what I mean? Because he seems to be getting more and more negative. So I think it'll be a tight affair.
What's your prediction? Score prediction then for Saturday?
5-0 Alloa. Nah, I'm only joking. No, I think with Conley or Riley, I'll go 2-1 Alloa. Without Conley or Riley, I'll go 2-0 Alloa. Did I say 2-1? I say 2-1
and
then 2-0.
Aye,
we'll have a chance.
I wasn't expecting that. I'll be honest. I've plumped for a 1-1 draw in this. I'll be honest. Both myself and Kieran have went for draws. I would be more than happy. We've said that as much as we have a good record down at Palmerston, it's never a place that I would say we go to full of confidence. Mm-hmm. It's just we seem to keep doing okay down there. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of expecting similar to say I think it'll be quite tight on that. I normally predict a lot of goals in the games, but I do think Saturday will be quite tight as well. So I've plumped for one each. I'd love you to be right and for Alloa to get another win down there. It'll certainly put us in a good position going into the Scottish Cup games. But there's something at least you've got to look forward to, a Scottish Cup tie as well.
I know. I can't wait to go up to St Mirren and only have no shots on target, only get beat 2-3-0. Then sure, Bartley will be happy with that.
That might be a cause of celebration for Bartley.
Absolutely, get the champagne out.
Daniel, I'll wrap things up there. Thanks again for coming on and join us on the podcast. We'll get you on. We'll have one. I mean, if we both progress in the cup, there might be two more games. You never know this season. But we'll get you on before the final league game as well. As usual, best of luck on Saturday. But I don't really mean it.
No bother, Kev. Cheers again, pal.